Well, we are living in some interesting times, aren't we? What a year 2020 has been so far, and we're only about halfway through it. Now, if you're on social media or on your computer at all, you've probably seen some of the memes that have come out about this crazy year of ours. I have two brothers, and they're both funny as can be. And one of them has taken it upon himself to send the family a meme a day. And so I thought I'd just share a couple of my favorites with you. So it's good to have a sense of humor during this dang year that we're living in. So the first one is armor. All prepared for the year, but the arrow goes right through the armor. Second one, based on 2020 so far, there could be sharks in wheat fields before we know it. Dear God, now what? When life gives you lemons, make lemonade, but the 2020 lemons don't have any juice. Scientists find 33 creatures in a cave that's been sealed off for 5 million years. Seal that cave back up, for heaven's sakes, not this year, man. Please, not this year. And then here comes August, like a train on fire. Well, we have to laugh sometimes, but on a more serious note, about 4 weeks ago, a friend of mine named Anne gave me a call. I have known her for a long time, and she has recently started attending a UU church. And so she called me and said, "Do you have a minute to meet by phone or Zoom? Because I am really struggling with this year. You know, I am not mad at the faith of my childhood. I'm not like furious at it, but I am trying to reconstruct my theology, my meaning-making system, and I need to understand how Unitarian Universalists answer the question of why. Why all the suffering?" And she went on to say, "You know, remember, I used to believe that God sends us suffering as a punishment for our bad deeds or for behaving poorly." So, like in back in the day, I might have thought that God had sent this virus to punish all of us for treating the climate or the earth so poorly. And I just don't think that makes sense anymore. She went on, she said, "You know, I used to believe that God sent suffering to test us and so that we'd get closer to him. And I also used to believe that there was a devil and that the devil could get in you and you could do bad things. But I'm pretty sure like that you don't believe in any of that stuff. So could we meet?" And I said, "Sure, why don't we meet?" And we did by Zoom, because she was asking these questions because she knew intuitively that we need a faith for all seasons, not just during the sunny ones. And she was asking these questions because she knew as humans, our most urgent question is, how do we hold brokenness, injustice, and suffering with wide open eyes and arms and still greet the day? How do we get through it? So we met by Zoom. And we started with sharing some stories, some fragments of Anne's story. She described how the suffering of the world affected her and still affects her in her blood, her bones, and her memory. And she had distinct memories of the Rodney King beatings. She remembered exactly where she was when the TV news aired the videotape that had been captured of those beatings 29 years ago. And of course, we wonder, have we made any progress? She said back then she felt it in her gut, her stomach. She felt sick to her stomach. And now, with George Floyd's murder and all of the other police brutality, she's sick to her stomach again. So we held that suffering, those memories, we held them clumsily, tenderly. We held collective suffering of systemic racism and violence. Then she kept talking. Her father had died of lung disease, and the memories of his struggle to breathe were conjured up as she heard the stories of the COVID-19 patients. She felt all that suffering, she said, in her chest, her rib cage. We held that gingerly, tenderly, reverently. And then we began to explore it theologically, more with our minds. And that's the trick here, see? You can't make meaning of suffering just in your head. You have to feel it in your body. It's always the best place to start with the stories in the body. But then we just did get into our minds a little bit. And she said, okay, so now what? What about the theology of it all? And I explained that no religion, including Unitarian Universalism, can eliminate pain. Just, we can't eliminate it, of course. So the two questions then do become, why do bad things happen? And how do you how does Unitarian Universalism reduce our anguish or grief? When they do, what's our good news? What's the UU good news about this? And I referred to one of my favorite authors, who is a humanist, William Murray, and he's written, not the comedian, Bill Murray, no, William, M-U-R-R-Y. He's written lots of really great books, and one of them is called A Faith for All Seasons. And he wrote it because he kept hearing that Unitarian Universalism was a fair weather faith. Good when times are good, but not that helpful when times are bad. And he knew that wasn't true, so he wanted to write about it. He reminds us in that book that science and reason are foundations of our faith, which makes us a naturalistic, more than a supernaturalistic faith in our understandings of the world. In general, Unitarian Universalists do not believe suffering is caused by a supernatural force like a cursing devil, or that pain is something given to us by a supernatural old man with a white beard in the sky as punishment for our sins. Nope. We don't view pain as a way to earn redemption or balance out our wrongdoings. No. And as religious liberals, we don't believe that suffering is given to us so we can learn a lesson or be tested in our faith. Mm-mm. For us, suffering happens because we live in an unfinished universe where random events occur. Natural events happen. Bad things happen because of our biological interconnectedness of life. So, for example, we feed upon plant life and animals in order to survive, and other life forms like viruses feed on us to survive. And feeding on things causes suffering. Because life is interrelated, not just biologically, but politically, economically, and emotionally, a tragedy can happen in one part of the world, like in Beirut this week, and repercussions are felt everywhere. Anne was nodding, like, yes, stuff happens because of biology and because of the interdependent web of life. Now, she went on to say, okay, that's all making sense, but why do people do bad things? Why do people cause suffering? What about police and all the violence? So I reminded her of our first principle. As Unitarian Universalists, we believe everyone is born sacred with, you know, worthy of love. But from evolutionary biology, we have learned about the instinct for self-preservation, which can lead to self-centeredness. We know that when our self-interests collide with the interests of others, we usually pursue our own interests at the expense of others. Sometimes this leads to lots of suffering. Sometimes it's minor, but sometimes it leads to lots of suffering on the part of others. And that self-centeredness can become so profound that it can lead to cruelty and deeds that might be viewed as evil, not for the benefit of all life, that's how I define evil, not for the goodness of the interdependent web of life. Now, there's something else. Modern psychology tells us that there is potential for doing things that might be called evil within the shadowy parts of our psyche, and that mental illness can lead to acting in evil ways. And our faith also teaches that people have freedom. And sometimes we use that freedom to do good, and sometimes we do it to do pretty bad things. So if we were asked today, are the police who have committed such terrible murder and brutality evil themselves? we'd say no. But we would see that they seem to have pursued their own interests over others, and they certainly have misused their freedom to do evil things. Things and actions that separate and harm the web of life. So Anne was feeling better about this. And then what about comfort? What about that human desire for wholeness and comfort, which is really strong, right? That's evolutionary too in our own biology and our psychology. How do we get comforted as naturalistic religious liberals? Well, I know you've been exploring these issues for the last few weeks, Foothills, and I know that you've been lamenting the pain of this year and really exploring how you're comforted. Several sermons over the last few weeks have been so powerful related to that belovedness and big love and how we save what we love instead of destroy what we hate. All of that is really answers Anne's questions, but I'll just tell you what I told her on the Zoom call. Here were some thoughts. We dig into that principle, the first principle that everyone is worthy of love and everyone is sacred, and we apply it to ourselves. And we just derive some confidence from that. Like, I can do this. I'm worthy of love, and I can go find love in these hard times. I can seek it out. I can ask for it. I'm not weak if I do. That means we don't have a stiff upper lip and tough it out all the time. We have to have a confidence that we're good. Also a confidence that life is worthwhile and that it continues on. You know how the weeds pop up out of the cement? I'm always amazed. Or out of rock, like when I'm on hikes and I see things just growing right out of rock. Life calls us on. Life wants to live. And this isn't a doctrine, but it's an attitude, a confidence in and a loyalty to life. Now, out of this confidence, we commit to also growing and looking at ourselves and asking, am I playing a role in suffering? Is there anything that I could do, not out of shame or, you know, making myself feel terrible, but no, out of a confidence that I am a part of the interdependent web of life and that I play a role in it. So looking at our role, we consider it, and then we grow, and then we're moved to change. And then we can also turn to our seventh principle, this time for comfort. Not only does the interdependent web lead to suffering sometimes, it certainly can lead to comfort because there is a unity that makes us one. We're not alone. We are not alone. The earth, the sky, the whole natural world is collaborating with us and supporting us. If we're connected scientifically and biologically, we could actually experience that, not just think about it, because we know it's true. Now, my friend Anne wanted to know about the theistic understanding of all of this. So, you know, some UUs are theists, and she has left a traditional, very conservative Christian church, and she's not ready to throw God out with the bathwater. So I explained that Unitarian Universalists who are theists usually view God not as a supernatural puppeteer that intervenes in the world, but as a creative power that resides within all life. And this creative power energizes and pushes everything to more beauty, more love, more justice, more truth. And it can energize people to overcome forces that cause pain and suffering. So it's more like a verb than a noun. And theists who believe in or view God in this way see themselves as a part of the whole, co-creating with God. And the meaning of their lives becomes really to co-create and contribute to more goodness, more beauty, more truth, more justice. So Anne and I took a few moments to feel that. Just feel this creative power. She imagined it almost like a blanket of this creative power surrounding her and then just spiraling out in concentric circles, a blanket of creative energy and love, big love, big love. So, as people of faith, we do hold brokenness collectively, communally, and theologically in covenant with each other in congregations, and we care for each other. Anne loves the congregation that she's found. She's so grateful that she's part of it and can continue to serve there and to be part of justice work that restores unity. She's grateful to have a place to expand her heart and her soul, a place to hold brokenness, injustice and suffering with wide open eyes and arms. And at the same time, greeting the day with gladness, with gratitude and hope, with forgiveness, and with love of life in one another. As Unitarian Universalists, we have a faith for all seasons. So may it inspire and comfort you, especially this year.